Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So good to have you. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you so much, worship team. I love our worship team. You guys are incredible. Where'd George Valdez go? He snuck out the back. There he is. He's so like a ninja. One man, a ninja, a worship man. He could worship and be a ninja at the same time. This summer, George Valdez is worship ninja. I have no idea where that came from. But anyway, I love, in case you don't know, George and Lily Valdez are two of the greatest people you could ever meet. And if you have any inkling of desire to be in our worship team, we don't have a band, we don't hire a band, we have a worship team. I want you to come and see them straight after service because I want you to meet them because they're great, but I want you to be part of that. You know, maybe you like to sing in the shower, but maybe you need to expand that gift into the masses. And if you're not that great, we'll just turn your microphone down. It's all good. I'm kidding. So good to be preaching to you, 12 p.m. service. Tonight. Everyone say tonight. Jeremy Johnson, make sure you come back tonight. It's so easy here. It's so easy because you can go to church here, then you can go have lunch, you can go go-karting, laser tag, whatever, and then come back for the 5 p.m. It's just like, it's like a theme park. We have church in the middle of a theme park. It's crazy. Anyway, who had a good 4th of July? Anybody? Anybody eat some hot dogs? A few people? Not so much me. I'm a vegetarian. Not a strict vegetarian. I still eat steak and chicken and bacon, stuff like that. So I'm kidding. I'm not a vegetarian. I wouldn't survive that lifestyle. Respect for you if you can do that. Amazing. I probably can't. But anyway, let's get into the Word of God. Who's ready for the Word of God this afternoon? Who's going to lean in and get something out of the Word of God this afternoon? Listen, maybe you're new to C3. Maybe you're like, who are these people? This is weird. Why are all these things on the walls? It's because we're an excited church, so we put things on the walls. We're so excited about it. We're so excited about acoustic engineering that we put acoustic engineered panels on the walls. So listen, one thing you're going to learn about C3 is that we're excited, we're a passionate church because we've got Jesus in our lives. That's basically it. So let's get into this afternoon. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. In the music, the moment, you own it. You better never let it go." Yo. A few people got that. Hey, I was a teenager when Eminem came out. I'm not condoning Eminem at all, but I'm just saying. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. I'm not going to go there. Maybe tonight. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Gosh, if all you got from the Bible was this scripture, you'd be doing all right. You'd probably have a pretty good life if all you got was this. Let's read it again. Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever, everybody, this applies to everybody. Religion has taught people that this doesn't apply to everybody, it applies to some people, that, you know, select a few people, selected by God, get to be saved, and if you're not selected by God, sorry, too bad, bad luck for you. But this kind of beats that theology to the ground. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, not their couch, and follow me. I love Jesus because he preaches simple. I'm a simple guy. I'm not that smart. I try to look smart, but I'm not. And so I need simple teaching. I think we all like a little bit of simple teaching, right? Come on, religion has made it way more complicated. 25 steps to following Jesus. 155 steps to follow Jesus. 5,000 steps to following Jesus. It's crazy. So Jesus takes 5,000 steps and says, shut up, let's bring it down to 3. Deny yourself, and Jesus wouldn't say shut up, so don't quote me on that, don't write a blog about it. Nah. Deny yourself, step number one, deny yourself. That's a tough thing to do. Take up your cross, tough thing to do. And follow me. Denying yourself and taking up your cross are the prerequisites to following Jesus. Let's not get confused about all the other ideas out there. This is simple gospel, and I like it. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. The title of my message this afternoon, for those of you who are taking notes that want to go to heaven, is complacent, comfortable, and casual. Complacent, comfortable, and casual. Let me pray, and let's get into this. God, I thank you for the 12 p.m. service today. God, I thank you that you'll speak through me, God. Not my words, but yours would be said. That today we would leave here today not being complacent or comfortable or casual. Everybody said, amen. 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 So we have a situation on our hands called casual Christianity. Casual Christianity, where we give God our Sunday, or every other Sunday, we give some time to God, but that's it. Monday, you wake up and you're in Monday mode, and that's it. Or we call on Jesus when we need him. Jesus is your 911 call, but that's it. Or we treat Jesus as an addition to our lives. He's just a great addition to my life. It's my life. Jesus is like my buddy. I add him on. And if I don't need him, it's an addition. There's this great song. It says, Jesus at the center of it all. Yeah. And so that song, if you should listen to it, you should download it on iTunes. Jesus at the center of it all kind of smashes this idea that Jesus is a priority. Because we have a priority list in our lives. And this is what we get taught. I don't know who teaches this, but people teach us that we should be balanced. I don't understand what balance necessarily even means. But balance is like, you know, you've got to have all your priorities straight. So you've got to have, you know, God is first and family is second and this and this and this and this. So we end up with these big priority lists and we get so stressed out about them because for one moment you need this to be the number one thing. Then the next day you need this thing. It becomes a big mess. But if you and I would just throw aside the priority list and just put Jesus at the center of our life rather than an add-on on the side of our life, we'll find that all those other things are okay. All those other things will revolve around Jesus rather than us trying to order our lives to this crazy. Anyway, last Sunday night, I shared the thought that Jesus is our Savior, not our supplement. And for many people, Jesus is a supplement. He's like a thing that improves part of your life. And friends, Jesus will improve part of your life, but he'll actually give you a whole new life. And a supplement is designed to do a something, but Jesus is designed to change your everything. He's designed to change your entire world, every single part of it. People say, oh, I'm turning a new page, or this is a new chapter. God throws away the whole book and gives you a whole new book. So my point is this, casual Christianity. Jesus is a savior. Sorry, a supplement, not a savior in casual Christianity. We have another situation on our hands called comfortable Christianity, where Christianity really serves my life and Jesus he's been a great addition to my life, but you know, aside from my life, it doesn't really travel anywhere else but apart from me. You know, he's for me, that's cool, but that's where it ends. It ends with me. Comfortable, casual Christianity. But one thing I've noticed about following Jesus is it's not really a comfortable or casual experience being a Christian or following Jesus, is it? It's not. So how do we get to this place? How do we get to this place where people are just casually following God, comfortably coming to church, sitting in church? How do we get to that place? I believe it starts with being content. Now listen, content is not a bad thing. Content is a good thing. And in case you didn't know that, I actually Googled what content means. And we all know that Google does not lie. So content is to be in a state of peaceful happiness. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing, to be in a state of, anybody like, that's not a good thing. Well, you need, take it easy. Go to Lolita's, have a burrito, just chill. Be content. So it's good to be content. That's a good thing. Where we get into trouble is when our content becomes complacency. Complacency, by definition, is self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. So you're much more likely to have a car accident in your complacency. With no idea what's going on around you, you've just become complacent, switched off from the world. One thing that complacency does guarantee is compromise. You're most likely to compromise when you're in a state of complacency. And we see this happen all the time. We see it happen in dating. Where's my city at? Where are you guys at? My city. Yeah, woo! About to give you some dating advice. All the parents are like, come on! Some dating advice. When you become complacent, you compromise, so you settle. So you had a dream to have a husband that was a man of God, or you had a dream to have a wife who's a woman of God, but then something happens, you become complacent. Wow. Compromise. And I've heard it all before. You don't have to try and sell to me the idea. You know, if your youth leader says, I don't know if you should date that person, you should probably listen to the youth leader. You probably should. I'm not saying you definitely have to. I'm saying you probably should at least consider it. Because I've heard it all before. Oh, but he's so amazing. He's got abs and he surfs and he skates. That was a skating move. He dances. He robots. And I know he hasn't got a job, but he's just finding out where he lands and trying to, I know he sits down during worship, but yeah, his legs are tired. Yeah, well, you know, he needs to join a gym and do legs. You know, like, that's a problem, you know. Can't stand for 20 minutes. How is he going to provide for you, buy you an expensive ring? He's not. Not going to happen. But he loves me. You know, he loves parts of you. And y'all know that if he's just after your legs, your thighs, and your breasts, you'll need to send him to KFC. Because that's where you need to send the guy to. All the parents say amen. And it's not just for girls. I see guys do it too. I've seen guys on fire for God. I remember a guy back in Australia, when I was a youth leader, I sat down with him one day and he's telling me, man, I've got this dream in my heart. I want to plant a church in Europe. And I was like, wow, that's an extreme dream. Then he met this girl and I was like, dude, I don't know about that girl, man. I mean, she's not really, you know, she's, you're hot, she's cold. So hot and cold together doesn't make hot. Hot and cold together makes lukewarm. So I see him start today and I just see him just slowly but surely become lukewarm. A sad thing to see. Sad thing to see. So let me encourage you, don't compromise. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm content, but I'm not complacent. It gets worse. I'm sorry. It gets worse. Complacency can then become comfort. This is where it starts getting dangerous. Comfortable, according to Google, is to be free from stress or tension. To be free from stress or tension. You know, the devil would love for you to live a life that is free from stress and tension. He'd love for you just to take up your couch and not take up your cross. He'd love for you to, rather than deny yourself, he'd rather you indulge yourself. This is exactly where the devil wants you to be. We get all extreme about it. Man, the devil wants me to go to the club. The devil wants me to do crack. The devil wants me to end up in... Like, sure. I mean, yeah, the devil has, like, pretty big goals. Like, the devil wants to get you in prison. The devil wants to ruin your life. But here's like a less extreme version of a ruined life from the devil is just being comfortable. It's just hanging out on your couch, living a life way below where God's called you to live it. Where you just take up compromise. Man, I'm just chilling out here. I'm just on my couch. It's good. I don't want to take up my cross. That's hard work. I'd rather take up my couch. Anyway, that's an extremely comfortable seat. And if I sit there, I'll be preaching all day. And we'll just go straight into the 5 p.m. We'll roll straight into it. Yeah, you cheer now, but you wait 4 hours of that. Yeah, no one's going to be enjoying that. That's too much. See, the thing with the couch is there's no stress or tension on the couch. There's nothing stressful really about a couch. There's no trouble on the couch. But here we are. John 16:33 says this. Jesus says, In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We can't avoid trouble. We can't avoid stress or tension. That's life. Yet why do we crave the couch so much? Why do we crave comfort so much? Here's the thing about being a Christian. It's not always comfortable being a Christian. Standing up for what you believe in is not always comfortable. You know, if Yelp was around when Jesus was walking the earth, Jesus would not have a 5-star Yelp rating. Because although he had many followers, he had many haters. It's very, you can't follow Jesus and try and win the popularity competition. It ain't going to work. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to hate you and throw stones at you and you're going to have to go into hiding. I'm not saying it's that extreme. What I am saying, though, is that it's not comfortable being a Christian sometimes. Standing up for what we actually believe in is not always comfortable. Not always easy. And Jesus, he would not have had a 5-star Yelp review. And shame on us if we have a 5-star Yelp review. We're not striving to have a 5-star Yelp review on our church. Just so you know. And anybody who's listening online that's upset about C3 Church, we don't care about your opinion. I'm just talking to the microphone because I'm talking to somebody online. We don't care. We're not here to appease the haters while they drink their haterade. We're not here to do that. We're here to get some people who are comfortable, uncomfortable. Listen, Jürgen and Leanne didn't leave Australia 12 years ago, pack up their whole lives, move to a city where they knew nobody just so they could entertain some Christians for a little while. We don't go to all the trouble of building this big building, putting these little acoustic panels everywhere just to entertain Christians. We're not in the entertainment business. We're in the transformation business. Listen, Emma and I, and this is not a pity party, I'm just saying, this is what it is. Emma and I, we have no family in San Diego. None. You guys are our family. We have no family. We, every day we wake up, we don't have family in San Diego. We have family in Australia. It's a 14-hour plane ride. It's a long way away. But we don't live here and make that sacrifice just so we can hang out with a bunch of Christians and entertain them and give them a little massage on a Sunday. It's just a massage. If I wanted to be a masseuse, I would have become a masseuse. I don't. I want to be a pastor, so I'm a pastor. So I'm just saying here, I'm saying we're not here to entertain Christians. We're here to build disciples. You don't build a church on comfortable people. You build a church on disciples. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those that enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard. I know this is really motivational right now. The way is hard that leads to life, and those that find it are few. I know about you, but I know for me, when you look at the two gates, you've got a wide one and a narrow one, and one looks easier than the other. But let me tell you something. Don't ever regret taking the narrow gate. Don't ever regret taking the narrow path. Don't ever regret taking the harder path in your life. Few will find it, but you will find life, and it is a lot better. There's nothing comfortable about the narrow gate. Nothing easy necessarily about it. Once you get comfortable, then you get casual. Casual Christianity. The definition of casual is even worse. It's pretty bad. Lacking a high degree of interest or devotion. So casual, in my mind, is lukewarm. Lukewarm. You're hot, then you're cold. You're yes, then you're no. You're in, then you're out. You're up, then you're down. You're wrong, then it's right. You're black, and it's white. He just quoted Katy Perry. This church is crazy. Lukewarm. That's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. Because you're not a threat to him when you're lukewarm. You're just chilling on the couch. Casual Christianity. I find it very hard to even get my head around the idea of really casual, comfortable Christianity. I can understand it if you come from a background of religion. I can understand it if God or the Bible to you is just a form of information that you just get informed on. It helps your life. I could understand how you could end up comfortable or casual if that's your story, but I don't understand how somebody could come in to church and meet Jesus and start a relationship with him and have the power of God change and transform their life and step into the presence of God and see the miraculous things of God happen. It's impossible to see those things happen. It's impossible to meet God, experiencing the goodness and the grace of our God. It's impossible to experience that and still be casual. It's impossible. The devil has got too many Christians on the couch of mediocrity, on the couch of easy, on the couch of, it's just my life. But you ain't gonna do anything on the couch with your life. You won't. You'll waste your life away on the couch. So it's impossible to follow Jesus and live a comfortable, casual, complacent life. But it's also impossible to follow Jesus and live a dull, boring, average, mediocre, unexciting, lame life. We're not called to live on the couch. We're called to take up our cross. You know, we can't afford to be playing it safe in our lives. It's comfortable on the couch because there's no faith required on the couch. Couch is an easy place to live as it does not require any faith. You know, life is typically a little easier if you just don't trust God for greater things. You don't have faith for whatever is in your heart to do. And so people will stay in that job they hate, in that little cubicle where that boss walks around with a cup of coffee and the big glasses. Hey, what's happening? I'm gonna need you to go ahead and finish up those TPS reports. So you stay in that job. You stay in that thing. And you hate it. And you hate your boss even though you're a Christian. You deep down, you just think, I'm jacked up, I need help. But meanwhile, you waste away while deep down in your heart, there's a dream for something else. There's a dream for a business you want to start. There's a dream to go back to college to do what you know you should have done. But because you're on the couch, because you're comfortable with your wage, and you don't want to take a risk, you don't want to trust God, you don't want to exercise faith, you stay there. Let's never be that church that allows our friends to sit on the couch when we know that there's greater things for them. There are greater things for you today. Get off that couch. We get all comfortable. We get all comfortable in our group of friends. What I love about my city this week is that they went out and handed out a bunch of flyers to people inviting them to church tonight. What a tragedy it would be if our 10 or 15 teenagers at school hung out just with each other because they're comfortable in their clique. They're comfortable together. The way we're going to win the schools, the way we're going to win the colleges is when we get out of our comfort zone and we make some different friends, amen? And we're going to do it in Jesus' name. We're going to see the schools transformed in South Bay. Somebody say amen. Or you stay safe in your connect group. Oh, I just love my connect group. I've been there for years. I bring the lasagna. I make it every time. Yeah, but we want you to start your own connect group now because we need more connect groups because we have got 1,000 people come to church now. Oh, but it's just so comfortable. Who's going to eat my lasagna? I will. I will eat your lasagna. Deliver it to my house. It's fine. Comfort. Comfort. It's a killer. We're not supposed to live safe, comfortable lives. I would say this week, you should just go out there and just do something you are completely afraid of. Just go, just do it. Terrified of heights, go jump off something with a parachute on. Obviously, don't jump off a building and try and sue me. I didn't say do that. I said jump off a building with a parachute on in a trained environment with somebody helping you. But do something that you're afraid of. Stop being so comfortable. No excitement in your life. For those of you that know me, you will know that I hate snakes. I'm terrified of snakes. July 2016, snake incident number 1 at my house. Snake in my yard. My There was a plumber at my house. There was a snake in the yard. Me and my plumber were trying to kill a snake. Got away. He was trying to kill it more than I was. I was more coaching him. Yeah, get him with the shovel. Get him. He's over there. He's slithering away. Ah, it's like Satan. He's like a serpent. Ah, he got away. My life was in fear for months. You ask my wife, I would stand at the window. I'm going to get you, snake. And by me, I mean somebody else is going to get you, snake. And then you fast forward to May of 2017, snake incident number two happens. I'm with some friends in their car. And I get a picture text message of a snake in my front yard. Snake incident number two. We turn the car around, we come home instantly. I'm on edge. I'm freaking out. I'm stressed out because I don't like snakes. That's why I left Australia. Okay, there's snakes everywhere. You go outside, you mind your own business, you're a good person. They don't care, they'll get you. They'll kill you. You're dead. Snakes. I hate snakes. That's why I moved here. Now there's snakes here. I can't get away from snakes. But now I've got a new approach. I'm overcoming my fear of snakes. So, around my house, I have 4 or 5 shovels strategically placed at every corner. And some days I go out there and I get a shovel and I just go up to some hedges and I just go, come on out, snake. And one day he's going to come out. I'm going to take his head off. Like David took the head off Goliath. I will take the head off that snake. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear. You should not live in fear either. One time I got afraid on a flight, I screamed. The person in front of me said, is she okay? Kidding. I actually love flying. Are you kidding me? Back-to-back movies? People bringing you food? No children? No phone calls? No emails? Flying's amazing. Let's not stay safe, people. You're not called to live a safe, boring life. The reason why someone's having a hard time hearing this is because at some point in your life, you gave up on what you know you're called to do. You gave up on the dream that God gave you. And you just put the recliner up and you lean back and you said, well, this is my life. But good thing you got a pastor that loves you enough to say, hey, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not your life. Maybe God has something better for you. Maybe your best days aren't behind you. Maybe your best days are ahead of you. But you need to get out of the couch. You need to step off that couch and go and trust God. Trust God for that dream. Trust God for that husband. Trust God for that wife. Trust God for that business. Trust God. Get off the couch. Complacent. People get complacent in marriage. You know, and you ask them, hey, how's your marriage doing? That's all right. How's it really doing? Oh, it's not good. Really? How bad is it? Well, at least we're not divorced. Listen, if your main goal in marriage is to not be divorced, then you've become complacent in your marriage. And God did not create marriage to torture people. Although many people would think that. Marriage has a bad thing on like TV. Like seriously, people are like they trash marriage. Like, they love trashing it. Like marriage. I'm not an idiot. But God made marriage. And the way the devil breaks down marriage is he gets you content, then he gets you complacent, then he gets you comfortable. And then you just casually don't really care. Let's never be that church. Let's be the church that has strong marriages in Jesus' name. Let's never get casual when we pray. In case you didn't know this, prayer is not us complaining to God about all the problems in our life. Did you know that? In case you didn't. A lot of people don't know how to pray. That they pray. Basically, their prayer is more therapy. And God is the counselor. So they sit in their little chair and they pray really weak prayers. Like, oh God, just whatever your will is, you know. God, if you want me to get promoted in my job, cool. If not, that's cool too. And yeah, God, you know, I mean, if you want me to get well, if you want to heal me, you know, I'm pretty sick right now. I guess you could heal me. And yeah, God, I pray for San Diego. I guess it's a pretty important place and I live here. And so God, just, you know, save the city, God, and it'd be great. And this is like some people pray. So some, they pray with no faith at all. They pray in a reclined, comfortable position with no faith at all. But that's not how we're supposed to pray. Our prayers are not supposed to be pathetic. Our prayers are supposed to be prophetic. Our prayers are supposed to speak into our circumstances. I know the diagnosis is just cancer, but I'm going to speak into that thing. I know it looks bad in my business right now, but it's going to turn around. The guy from the bank may be knocking on my door, but he's not taking the keys to my car. He's not taking the keys to my place. When we step out, we pray for our city. God, we thank you for South San Diego. We thank you for South Bay. We thank you for Cornerstone Church, for East Lake Church, for C3 Church. We declare a mighty move of God in South San Diego. That's how we pray. That's how we pray. We pray with a prophetic edge, not a pathetic edge. We should never get comfortable in church. We don't ever want to create a country club church environment where people come in and comfortable, wearing their masks, just being real comfortable on everything, never really knowing who they really are. Just coming in, coming to church late, leave early. We never want to create a comfortable church. If you're looking for a comfortable church, I don't know, I'm sorry. We're not going to change, so. It's bad news for somebody, maybe. I don't know. But I challenge you to change. I challenge you to stick around and watch what God does in your life. Some people like small churches because they're comfortable there. Because they know everybody there. Everybody knows who they are there. They know the pastor. They can shake his hand and you know, they can have a little party and they can make lasagna and bring it to the team and church. And it's like there's a small church mentality out there that kind of rages against a growing church. It's called mega churchophobia. And it's always, when someone says, oh, we're going to leave C3 because we had someone say this the other day, we have to leave C3, it's gotten too big. And I'm like so worried for that person because how are they going to go with heaven? Heaven is a massive, massive mega church. I mean, if this LED wall offends you, just wait till you get to heaven. You'll be like, where's the drywall? There's only LED walls in heaven in Jesus' name. Mega churchophobia. Ah, C3 church, they've got a haze. They've got a smoke machine in there. Heaven's going to have a smoke machine. And hell's going to have smoke. So either way, you've got smoke for eternity, so get used to it. You can't get away from that. Smoke machine. Listen. Mega churchophobia, that concerns me. It also concerns me in the fact that people like small churches, and I'm not condemning small churches at all. I'm saying what's healthy grows. And everything starts from something. And everything's small for a season, but at some point, if it's healthy, it has to grow. It can't be 10 people for 10 years. It's not healthy, it's not growing. We're called to grow, we're called to expand. This is the church. This is the house of God. We're called to be a place that grows, that causes people to be challenged, to not get comfortable. Church is not so much a hospital. And I've preached in the past, church is like a hospital. That sounds really good, but when I thought about it, I'm like, I don't know if it is. Because when you go to a hospital, either you get better and you leave and you don't come back until you're sick again, that's not church. Or you stay, but the only condition of you staying is that you remain sick, which is not the condition of church either. Church is not supposed to be a hospital, although you may come in wounded. You can come in however you want, and we will put you in the ER room. We'll put you on life support if we need to. But eventually, you have to get out of that hospital, and you have to go to the back of the hospital and see an elevator, and it says up, and up is discipleship. You're not supposed to be comfortable in church. Year after year on your sickbed, that's not the purpose of church. We have hurt people in here that come in here all the time, and I'm telling you, I love seeing them. You know, they get well, they get healthy again. You know, Pastor Stacy would tell you so many stories about people who've come in, and they're so broken. They're like, Pastor, we're getting divorced, I'm on drugs, my life's falling apart. And we tell them, well, you might need a hospital season. Let's get you healthy. Let's get you well. But sooner or later, you have to get off the life support and you have to get on the elevator and you go up to connect, grow, serve, and lead. Because you're not called to be in the hospital your whole life. Church is not a hospital. Church is a rescue ship. We're here to rescue people. Can't be comfortable in church. Can't be comfortable where we're at. We're never going to be complacent. I love our pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. They have such an amazing vision for our city. One church, 16 locations. And even then, like when that happens, it'll be one church in 100 locations and so on. There's not going to be a complacency. I remember, I'll get the guys to put the picture up, our very first prayer meeting we had, the South Campus at the Matt and Vanessa Lee's house. 3 years ago, there it is right there. That is me in the yellow shirt. Yes, I was a little bit larger. Stephen, Carl, Louis, Christina, Carla, Sal. That's cool. We had, you know, 15 people in a room. We could have just said, hey, this is great, you know, we've got 15 people. Let's just stop here. This is a great little family where we can all pray together. You know, Sal can bring the lasagna. We've got that covered. We've got lasagna. So we could have stayed, we could have been complacent. We could have been comfortable. Let's just be comfortable with that. Let's not stretch. Let's not trust God. Let's not believe God that you know, all the hundreds of thousands of unsaved people. Next photo is a few months later. We had a prayer and dessert night again at Matt and Vanessa Lee's house, which was really the original South Campus building. It's their house. And this photo was taken just before their sprinkler system, which is automated, turned on. And we were all like, it's raining from heaven. And we're like, no, it's not, it's just the sprinkler system. So, but again, we didn't get complacent. You know, there's 40 or 50 people in the backyard. We could have said, this is a great community. Let's just stop here. This is great. We can all know each other. It's comfortable. So then we ended up going to a movie theater and we had one service and we had it in the smaller theater. There it is right there. There's Pastor Jürgen. There's Maddie Lee, I think, next to him, getting his worship clap on. So then we went to a movie theater and we started with one service in a small theater and that kind of grew. And then we went to the larger theater. And then, and it's really funny, I've never been able to tell this story before because we're at the movie theater, but there's the guy that works at the movie theater. He is a really sweet guy. He looks like the Monopoly man. He's really nice. He twice pulled me aside and said, why are you doing a second service? You haven't even like filled up the first service. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. God's going to fill it. So, and another time he pulled me aside and he said, well, why are you going to the bigger theater? And I'm like, because we're not complacent. We're not waiting until it's jammed full before we trust God to fill it more. So anyway, so then the parents of child, SHO, which is a strange name for a child. Please go to kids' church. So then we packed out that movie theater. One service, we packed it out for two services. George, you were there. And then we got this building. And God's going to pack out this service. He's going to pack out the next service. And before you know it, we're going to have four services. Before you know it, we're going to have stadium seats in here. And then we're going to have to go and do a National City campus, an Imperial Beach campus, a Coronado campus. Because we're not going to be complacent. The church is God's plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. Let's never be so comfortable with what we've got or what we have. God builds his church on Christians who are not comfortable, complacent, or casual. My challenge for you this afternoon is, are you in that place? Are you in that place this afternoon? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I've only got a minute left, I want to throw this question out there to you. If that's you today, if you're sitting in here today and you know that's you, you're like, man, I'm just not walking with God. I've just gotten really casual on God. I've just become comfortable. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you just to wave your hand at me right now. If that's you today. If you feel like you've just gotten a bit casual with life and with God, you feel like you've just gotten a bit comfortable, thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else here that, thank you, I see you. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Come on, God's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Oh, I've just become casual. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand, ma'am. God's got a mighty plan for your life. Mighty plan for your life, ma'am. Hey, church, in the last 5 minutes we've got, I want us to all jump to our feet. And so many of you raised your hands. I want to take a quick moment. Here we're a church family. We're not a church organization. And I want to quickly pray for those people that just raised their hands. So listen, if you're one of those people that raised your hand right then, I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you. I want you to just come down to the carpeted area down here at the front. I'm going to jump off the stage. I just want to meet you. I want to pray for you really quickly. I believe the power of God is here right now. I didn't come here today just to teach you a nice little teaching. We preach to get transformation. We don't preach to give information. I don't want you to leave informed. I want you to leave transformed. So for those of you that raise your hands, I'm gonna jump, or anybody else who know this is for you, if you know this message was for you and you know you should have put your hand up, just come down the front. Come down the front.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.